All right, y'all ready to make your confession this morning? Yeah. All right. Let's hold up our Bibles. Say it like you mean it. Mean it like you say it. This is the Word of God. I can have what it says I have. I can be what it says I can be. I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I am a winner, not a whiner. I'm a doer, and not just a hearer, and not just a hearer. In Jesus' name. The Bible says we're all part of the body of Christ. Turn to someone next to you and say, thank God you brought the rest of my body this morning. All right. Book of Proverbs also tells us that a cheerful heart is good medicine. So I hope I have some good medicine for y'all this morning. Again, these are just humorous stories. Please don't be offended. And if you don't like them, send in some new ones. All right. What's wrong, Bubba? Asked the pastor. Bubba says, I need you to pray for my hearing. The pastor put his hands on Bubba's ears and prayed. When he was done, he asked, so how's your hearing? Bubba says, I don't know. It isn't until next Tuesday. Since we're in the internet and cell phone age, here's a couple of sayings I want y'all to ponder. Ready? If an anonymous comment goes unread, is it still irritating? What is the sound of no hands texting? If nobody likes your selfie, what is the value of the self? Last one, to see a man's true face, look at the photos they haven't posted. Two doctors and an HMO manager die. They line up together at the pearly gates. One doctor steps forward and tells St. Peter, as a pediatric surgeon, I saved hundreds of children. St. Peter lets him enter. The next doctor says, as a psychiatrist, I help thousands of people live better lives. So St. Peter tells him to go ahead. The last man says, I was an HMO manager. I got countless families cost-effective health care. St. Peter replies, you may enter, but you can only stay for 3 days. After that, you get to go to hell. Here's a sign written on a church marquee out front. It says, love your enemies. After all, you made them. Here's another one. When I asked my friend if she was planning to attend church, she just shook her head. I haven't gone in a long time, she said. Besides, it's too late for me. I've probably already broken all 7 commandments. During his 4th week of basic training, my grandson was able to make a brief phone call to me. He said he was attending church on base every week, which I was pleased to hear. Everyone goes to church here, he said. It's the only place we don't get yelled at. And that is the truth. I have been there. Last one. Jesus, Moses, and an old bearded guy were playing golf. On the first tee, Moses shanked his ball into a lake. He parted the water and hit his ball onto the green. Jesus teed off, hitting his ball into another water hazard. But he walked on the water and stroked his golf ball just short of the cup. The old man with the beard stepped up for his tee shot. He hit the ball with tremendous force, but it hooked badly. The ball bounced off the clubhouse roof, hit the cart path, rolled down a hill into a pond, coming to rest on a lily pad. A frog hopped over, picked up the ball, then an eagle swooped down, snatched the frog, and flew over the green. The frog dropped the ball, and it rolled into the cup for a hole-in-one. Moses turned to Jesus and said, I hate playing golf with your dad. All right. Hebrews chapter 12. This morning we're going to talk about hanging in there when you're facing opposition. And I'm going to use a euphemism from the world of sports to illustrate what we're going to be talking about. In the sport or the world of wrestling and mixed martial arts, if you're in great pain or you can't take it anymore, you can do what is called as tap out, where you hit the mat with your hand or a foot several times repeatedly to let the referee know, I'm finished, I can't do it. You're basically, it's a way for someone to surrender to their opponent. They are throwing in the towel, they're giving up, they're quitting the fight, they're saying, you win, it's over, I'm done, it's finished. So again, tap out is from the world of MMA or mixed martial arts. Now, some of us who are a little older have heard of something called the Thrilla in Manila. That was the third and final boxing match between Muhammad Ali and Smokin' Joe Frazier. They had fought twice earlier. Frazier had won the first one. Ali won the second one. So this third one was going to be it. And they held it in a place called Quezon City, which is a suburb of Manila in the Philippines. And like I said, it was called the Thrilla in Manila. And it got its name from Muhammad Ali, who always talked in rhymes. And Muhammad Ali said that the fight would be a killer and a thriller and a chilla when I get that gorilla in Manila. Now, this third match was a bruising match. And in the 15th round and the final round, Smokin' Joe Frazier's trainer, a guy by the name of Eddie Fuchs, refused to allow Joe Frazier to come out and fight, fearing for Joe's personal safety. That resulted in what's called a TKO, or a technical knockout, for Muhammad Ali, and then is a boxing equivalent of tapping out and giving up. So we're at Hebrews 12, we're going to start at verse 2. This is our text for today. Hebrews 12, verse 2, I'm going to read from the King James Version. King James Version says this: looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now I have one more verse to read, and I want to read it in three different translations so you can kind of see it from different angles. Verse 3, King James Version. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, the New King James Version for verse 3 says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And then the New Living Translation for the same verse says, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. I like actually the King James translation in its use of the word contradiction instead of hostility like the other versions use. Growing up, on occasion, I would often hear my mother say, don't you dare contradict me. And that was usually followed by some contradiction to my rear end. Can anybody say amen to that? All right. Now, the Muhammad Ali Joe Frazier fight, though billed as the greatest fight in the 20th century, was nothing compared to the battle that Jesus waged on a daily basis. So the word contradiction means to be in direct opposition to attempt to overrule, and to assert or express the opposite. The writer of Hebrews tells us that if you are struggling and thinking about throwing in the towel, look at Jesus as your great example of someone who didn't quit when the battle grew hot and his foes multiplied. I want to talk about the opposition that Jesus faced and overcame, but before I do, I'm going to point out a few others who faced opposition and temptation, and we're going to see how they did. First, I'm going to mention are the forerunners of our race. If anyone was well qualified and well prepared to handle the fight of life, it was them. No sinful nature in them at all. Regular fellowship with God. And they only had one sin that they were capable of committing. Adam and Eve. But they tapped out to curiosity and to attempt to fulfill physical desires. Following close on the heels of that failure was their son Cain, who tapped out to anger and murdered his own brother. Then, though the record is hidden from our eyes, we know that as a whole, all of mankind tapped out to sin of every type, to the point that God looked on the sins of man, and in Genesis 6 and 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, with one exception, Noah and his family, whom the Bible calls a just man and perfect in his generation." So the flood came, and Noah, who represents not only the best of us, but also the worst of us, should have known better, having witnessed with his own eyes the consequences of tapping out. Noah also tapped out. The first act of his after the flood was to build an altar to the Lord, but it wasn't long before he himself tapped out to the temptation of fleshly fulfillment. He became a farmer, and the only thing the scriptures record him as planting was a vineyard. The verse immediately following that in scripture says that Noah got drunk. While there are great differences of opinion on the consumption of alcohol, without exception, drunkenness is forbidden and called sin in the Bible. Noah, like all godly men, have walked on the heights with God, and somewhere along the journey, they tapped out and they walked in the depths with the devil. That's why Jesus said we are to call no man good. I've never understood why some men call other men a great man of God, because the Bible says all flesh is as grass. It also says all we like sheep have gone astray. If Jesus wouldn't let anyone call him good, Jesus, who never sinned, nor was guile ever found in his mouth, who are we to so elevate men who have sinned to the status of a great man of God? Abraham, the father of the faith, the example for all who would come after him believe, tapped out and lied that his wife was his sister when he was afraid for his life. David, that sweet psalmist of Israel, the giant slayer, saw a beautiful woman and tapped out to lust. Judas decided he wanted money more than God, and that's the sin that he tapped out over. Now, Peter, perhaps the most well-known of those who tapped out, Jesus said to him that before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. True enough. When asked following the arrest of Jesus, wasn't he one of Jesus' followers? Peter cursed and swore that he was not. Twice more he tapped out to fear and denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, consider this though. After that third denial, Peter tapped out one more time. Do you know when it was? He didn't tap out to the devil, but to his conscience. The Bible tells us that he went out and wept bitterly. Now, I underline the next statement so I wouldn't butcher it, so hear this well. When you are sinning, you are tapping out to the devil, but when you are repenting, you are tapping out to God. You're saying, I can't take this hurt anymore. Now, church history tells us that for the rest of his life, every time Peter would hear a rooster crow, he would cry. Point I'm making is that though all men may tap out for different reasons, all men still tap out. Some to anger, some to sensual pleasures, some to fears, but all men tap out. The case file of humanity is a horrible record of failure and tapping out. That's why the Bible says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. And again, it says, all have sinned and come short of the standard of the glory of God. But before we talk about Jesus, I want to make one brief point. All that being said, help is on the way. If I could sum up what I've said so far, it would be this. The best of us have also been the worst of us. When push came to shove, we've all tapped out. But that isn't the only thing the Bible tells us. If we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, God was saying back then, help is on the way. Even those of us who had, I've had one or two teachers in school, when I was in school, one or two that I still remember vividly to this day. And I think everybody has at least one. That one teacher was so good that even if you got a horrific grade on a paper, they would pat you on the back and basically tell you, it's okay, help is on the way. On the very day that Adam and Eve tapped out and fell into sin, God showed up and said, your sin has consequences, but help is on the way. There is one coming who, though his heel will be bruised by the serpent, he will crush the serpent's head. Thousands of years later, Paul would talk about the mystery that was hidden for the ages but had been revealed in this day. The mystery he was talking about was that help was on the way. He was talking about Jesus was the solution to our sin problem. In the book of Exodus, God told the people the angel of death was coming around. But he also told them, help is on the way. He said, put the blood of the lamb over the door, and when I see the blood, I'll pass by you. I'll pass over you. Now, I know most folks think that he was talking about the blood of the lambs that were slaughtered over their door, but I know in deep in my soul, God was talking about the spotless Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. God may have seen the literal lamb's blood, but he was looking forward in time to the blood of the spotless Lamb of God. Y'all walking with me this morning? When we were yet without strength, help was on the way. That is why he was called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We also can read in Psalms chapter 105 that the Jews were headed for a famine they didn't know anything about. Well, there was one, and it's just because they couldn't predict the weather for the next 20 years, but there's one who can do that. But before he loosed the famine upon the land, help was already worked out. Turn to someone and say, before your trouble comes, help is already worked out. So in Psalms 105, we read in the 16th verse that God called for a famine upon the land. But in the very next verse, we read this amazing fact that before the famine came, he had sent a man ahead called Joseph. In other words, before trouble came, help had already been sent on ahead. Long before Adam and Eve messed up the first time, help was already on the way. We ought to be thanking God for all the help he has sent ahead of us. Amen. God looked to his preachers for help, but he wound up saying they were just dumb dogs that couldn't bark. So God began looking for someone to help and someone to stand in the gap. And it says in Isaiah 59 and 16, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. So let's talk about Jesus for a minute or two, and then we're going to finish up this morning. I want to talk about the things he faced but didn't tap out. And then we're going to close with the winner's belt that God gave him. Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, but he didn't tap out. Jesus was mocked. Jesus was rejected. The crowds, the very people he came to save, rejected him and said, get rid of him. We'd rather have Barabbas. Jesus could have gotten very angry at that moment, but he didn't tap out. The soldiers mocked him and said, "Prophesy who hit you." I believe that because he had human nature in him, he might have gotten a little anger inside. I can even imagine him thinking of the name of the very person who had said that and thinking of what he could even do to him. But thank you, God, Jesus didn't tap out to vengeance. The chief priest said, "If you're God, well then why don't you come down from that cross and save yourself?" I wonder if Jesus thought at that moment, "How about I come down and open up a can of whooping slap on you?" But he didn't tap out. Jesus was rejected by his own nation. He was rejected by the people of the town he grew up in. He was even rejected by his own friends. They tried to stop him, thinking he was crazy. His own family didn't believe in him. The religious leaders rejected him, the very ones who were supposed to be worshiping and serving him. When he cast out devils, they told him to get lost. And they had the nerve on one occasion to insult him and say he was doing it by demonic powers. And when he told them the truth, they wanted to kill him. When he healed the lame, they got angry. They took up stones to kill him. They even refuted his claims before Abraham was, "I am." Remember that one? They refuted his sermons. They refuted the miracles that he did. He was subjected to the shame of shames. He was hung naked on a cross. They spit on him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. But he never tapped out. If we could get in our hearts, those that don't, and when I say we, I don't mean we in here, I mean we as a church. If we could get in our hearts what he endured for us, it would be hard to get off of our knees. Back up, I'm going to back up for one more trial that Jesus had. You know, somewhere in eternity past, when God the Father was having that conversation with God the Son, you know the conversation I'm talking about, sometime in the future, I'm going to send you to earth in human form, and this is what you're going to endure. He said, that's the talk I'm talking about. I'm sure that God probably told him that at any point in the process, you can pick your life up or you can lay it down. In other words, God says, look, if it gets too hard for you anytime, all you got to do is call, and I'll send 12 legions of angels and wipe that place out. But he didn't. His flesh and his spirit were at such war with each other before he got arrested, he was sweating blood. That is an intense struggle. When you've got blood coming out of the pores of your skin instead of water. That is amazing. So the fight of the century may have been the thrill in Manila, but the greatest fight of all time was fought in that garden in Gethsemane. Jesus understood what was ahead, and all that was human and weak that was in him was arguing and fussing with all that was divine in him. You know, it's one thing to stand firm for God when just a gentle breeze is blowing against you. It's quite another thing when you're facing a Category 5 hurricane. And that was exactly what Jesus was facing in the garden that day. But he didn't tap out. But you know what pushed him over the edge in the right direction that caused him to never tap out? Do you know what it was? We actually hinted at it in Hebrews 12 this morning. Quote, "Who for the joy set before him endured the cross and despised its shame. What was the joy that was set before him? Well, that answer is actually found in Psalms chapter 2. Psalms 2 goes like this. Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then they shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. That's the answer right there in verse 8. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. Ask me, and I will give you the mockers for your inheritance. Ask me, and I will give you those that pushed that crown of thorns on your head. Ask me, and I will give you those that punched you and said, prophesy who struck you. Ask me, and I will give you those that accused you of casting out demons by the power of Satan. When I think about what it was that motivated Jesus and kept him from tapping out, I stand in awe of the one who could think so much of us sinners and never tap out. I'm going to quote an old hymn here. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could ever love me. A sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Because of what Jesus did and the fact he never tapped out, God gave him two rewards. First is you and me. And the second, according to the book of Philippians, because Jesus never tapped out, God gave him the name that is above all names. He is the lily of the valley. He's not just a king. He is the King of Kings. He is not just a Lord. He is the Lord of Lords. And whatever you, however you describe him, he is higher, he is wiser, he is better, he is purer, he is sweeter, and he is stronger than all. Amen. Hopefully, those that gave their life to the Lord, whether it be yesterday, last week, a year ago, a decade ago, or half a century ago, when you made that decision, deep in your heart, you felt something say, I'm going with a winner. I'm not putting my trust in man, because man will let you down every time. Politicians will let you down. Family members will let you down. Preachers will let you down. Best friends will even let you down. But the Lion of Judah will not let you down. I'm going to close with this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. I said, on Christ, the lily of the valley. On Christ, the bright and morning star. On Christ, whose eyes are a flame of fire. On Christ, who wears white because he's worthy. On Christ, the one at God's right hand. On Christ, my joy, my hope, my healer, my salvation, my justification, my deliverer. On Christ, I said, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Give him some praise in this place. Have you put your trust in him? Have you tapped out to sin? I have a little story for you. Preacher had to go to court recently. A family in the church asked him to come with them over a legal situation they were facing. So as a preacher sitting there, one by one, cases were heard. Some were resolved. Others received another date for court action. Pleas were made and deals were struck. One young man was there for sentencing. He started to try and re-argue his case. And the preacher will never forget what he heard the judge say. The judge says, "We are not here to discuss the case. We are here to give out your punishment." Immediately, two scriptures flashed to that preacher's mind. This first scripture was, "It is appointed unto man first to die and then the judgment." And the second scripture was, "Today is the day of salvation." As we close today, if you're struggling with sin and are close to tapping out, consider Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. But also, I want to tell everyone and anyone within the sound of my voice, today is the day to argue your case. But once you cross from life to death, it is not time to argue the case. It's time for final disposition or judgment. There will be no discussion. Your life will be the testimony that will already have been entered into the court record. And I'm talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Isaiah 1:18, I'll close on this verse. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Give God praise in the house today. You know, with all the violence going on in Charlotte and Washington, I think something happened at a mall or something. If you're blind, or I'm sorry, if you're ignorant, and I don't mean ignorant is a bad way. Ignorant just means you're not informed. But if you're ignorant to the fact that we are not in the end times and it is now time to get your life right with God, it's like what I just read. If you don't do it now and you pass from life to death, it's too late. Your punishment and judgment is final. You can either go live in a mansion, or you can be tormented for the rest of your life in fire. So, if y'all will please bow your heads. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for putting this message on my heart today, Father, to bring to everyone here. Father, if there's anyone within the sound of my voice that does not know you as God and does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Father God, I ask you through the power of the Holy Spirit to put it on their heart to come forward and make that life-changing decision. And as you know, Father, they are not coming to this church to join this church. They're not coming to me. They're not coming to anyone here, but they are coming to you. They are coming to the family of God. And I ask, Father, if there's anybody that needs and wants and desires to know you personally and intimately and have a relationship with you, that they come forward this morning. And Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give just a minute. Everyone okay?